Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good morning. Got my Long White Home coffee cup. Good morning, everybody. It's so cool. Mark Kilgore's in the house, and he and his bride, or I don't know how many people are coming with us on our ocean cruise retreat starting on December 9th. Man, why wouldn't you want to, you know, escape a little bit into the Bahamas with us and kind of enjoy a little bit of summer before you go into the winter? So that's what we're doing. We're going to do a cruise retreat. Father Scott Searcy is going to come up with me. We do a luau on December 8th, right here in Cocoa Beach at the Hilton, where it's about a 20-minute walk from our house down the beach. We're going to do hula lessons and teach people to surf and just have a good time and maybe do a tandem surfing exhibition. And then in the morning, we get up and we embark for a four-night cruise, 2 days at sea, going to the Bahamas, studying the virtues and developing community, which we'll be doing a lot of dialoguing about them, you know, not just teaching. So, and we have a lot, mostly all free time. It's just mainly to develop community. So stoked about you coming, Mark. And if you're thinking about coming, it actually is the least expensive cruise towards the Bahamas that I could find. And what's cool about it is it's the same ship I wrote my last book on the virtues. So that's why we're taking that cruise ship. So join us. It's not that expensive. I don't know what the price is now because it varies. If you delay, it might go down, it might go up. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm sorry about being delayed today. Shane and I are working on brand new intros and outros for our radio show / YouTube show / podcast show, The Bear Wozniak Adventure. I don't know how many of you've listened to that, but Fuzati, a Catholic social media marketing company, is about to go crazy with us, and we needed to get all that done. So Shane's over there working at his, my son Shane is working on it at his home, and we're kind of teaming up. So started out this morning at a little bit before 5. So anyway, I'm curious if you guys have anything you wanted to talk about today. Let's do something like this, that on Fridays in the morning or the night before, the day before, if you want to have any particular things to talk about, you may want to post that to a personal message to me, and then we can talk about it right here. One thing that I found out recently is that Vigano has written another letter. I haven't got to really study it, but he's speaking about the idolatrous statues that were put inside the Vatican, and he's asking that the Vatican be re-sanctified because there was idols in there. And I don't know if you know about the young man who took those idols and threw them into the Tiber River. I think I posted it to the man cave. It's a video of him taking those. And it's not inconsistent with what actually we've seen in the past with the idolatry. There was pagan statues that one of the saints took and threw into the Tiber once before. So thought something like things like that might be interesting to you too. But okay, so since we I didn't make myself clear enough, I guess. Next week, if you want to do any things like that, message me on Thursday, because Friday is going to be kind of a fun day, a different day. So, sorry, having to reorganize my show here because the sun is up and it's coming from the south than usual. It's making its southern run. Get my glasses cleaned off here so they're usable. So why don't we just take a look at this? This is the Council of Trent. Oh, I see I didn't reverse it, but there's the Council of Trent. The Catechism of the Council of Trent is written about in the 1600s, and it was issued by Pope Pius IV, and it came about because of the great heresy of Martin Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and those. And, you know, they were right to be upset with the church, but they went about with some of the abuses that were going inside the church. And the church was definitely in need of renewal, but their response to it was outright rebellion. And it's something that we have to keep in mind now during this time of our own church crisis. We need to pray for the Bishop of Rome, and we need to pray for the Lord to guide and heal and renew and restore His church. So there's a right order, there's a right way to be concerned about things, but to do things in a way that isn't rebellious. So let me see if I can just write in here just a little bit. There. Maybe that's better for me, so I'm not getting blinded. Okay. So this is the Catechism of the Council of Trent for parish priests. So it's thought that the priests would teach the adults, and the adults would teach their children. And it's the introductory, the necessity of religious instruction. And remember, we're probably just going to read from this on Fridays. Such is the, and this is from 500 years ago almost. Such is the nature of the human mind and intellect that although by means of diligent and laborious inquiry, it has of itself investigated and discovered many other things pertaining to a knowledge of divine truths, yet guided by its natural lights, it never could have known or perceived most things by which is attained eternal salvation, the principal end of man's creation and formation to the image and likeness of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful statement, because, you know, we love our Socrates, we love our Plato, we love our Aristotle. Around the year 500 BC, it seemed like the Lord inspired the intellects of these Greeks to consider things beyond the Roman mythology and to syllogize about who God is and is there only one God and things like that. And through reason, through the natural light of reason, we can see that there is a creator and there has to be an ultimate creator. There has to be, gods can't be equal. There has to be one God that is greater than all the gods. So they were able to reason through this and syllogize through this. And but even within that, they could never think of that God is a Trinity, that there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's so much about God that we can kind of understand with our minds, but we needed revelation. And so that's why we have the revelation of Scripture and of tradition, and that's why we love to read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Bill Snyder just logged in. Bill is a good friend of mine. He's our sound guy on our last Long Ride Home shoot. He's the guy that does the final touching up for the EWTN version of our radio show. And if you'll notice, I think he's wearing his profile picture is him and his new bride. He finished up shooting Long Ride Home and jammed down and was married just a few days later, I think. So, love you, Bill Snyder. It is true that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are, as the apostles teach, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. His eternal power also and divinity. So it is true that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are, as the apostle teaches, clearly seen. I mean, look at the beauty of the human genome. It's amazing. Anton Flew, one of the great atheists of the last century, very intelligent man. He was there when C.S. Lewis and I forget what they called themselves, that small group, would meet on Tuesday nights and seek truth. Well, I don't know if he was officially part of that group, but he certainly was a fly on the wall there. He came to Oxford as the son of a pastor and left there an atheist because to him that's what he thought was truth. But in the current century, as the double helix of the DNA molecule and helix of the double of the DNA molecule and the human genome and the knowledge that we gained of the universe, he said it's undeniable that there is an order and a genius to the human body, to the universe, and so he became a believer in God. And only as he in the last 6 to 10 years of his life, and then he became a Christian, because he said, if I was going to believe in God, the religion that makes the most sense is Christianity, and so he did. And all the atheists, the current atheists like Dawkins and those guys, Hitchens and those guys, say, no, he just became senile. But he could see by the creation of the world, clearly seen just by observing empirical data, empirical information, that there's a God. I mean, it's like saying the fact that, you know, the human eye alone, the journey that it would have taken to create that eye, it's like going into a forest and saying, oh, look, I found a guitar. It must have just happened accidentally. You know, it must have just, the random falling of sticks and metal and things fell together and made a guitar. It's just ridiculous, right? So it is true that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are, as the apostle teaches, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power also, and divinity. But the mystery with which hath been hidden from ages and generation so far transcends the reach of man's understanding that were it not made manifest by God to his saints, to whom he willed to make known by the gift of faith the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, man could by no effort attain to such wisdom. So we're reading from the Catholic Catechism, but we're reading from the one that is two generations old. We have the current new catechism, which we'll be reading. My son keeps calling me because he's working on the episode. Sorry, so I had to interrupt it. But and then there was the Council of Trent, and then there's the Baltimore Catechism. And we're just kind of we're reading this because it's so cool to see how the Catholic teaching has never changed and how rich it always has been. But as faith comes by hearing, it is clear how necessary at all times for the attainment of eternal salvation has been the labor and faithful ministry of an authorized teacher. It's so interesting that faith comes by hearing. There's an early church father, I think it was Clotus, forget exactly who it was, that wrote that Mary conceived by her through her ear, by her hearing, right? By hearing the word by the angel and accepting it in faith that she conceived. So the ear is a very powerful gateway to the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. For it is written, how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach unless they be sent? And indeed, never from the very creation of the world has God most merciful and benignant been wanting to his own, but at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and pointed out to them in a manner suited to the times and circumstances a sure and direct path to the happiness of heaven. Remember, this is written 500 years ago to priests to use to instruct their flock. It's the Council of Trent Catechism. But, and he has foretold that he would give a teacher of justice to be the light of the Gentiles, and that his salvation might reach even to the ends of the earth. Here we are in America, right? They didn't even know about us in Palestine, about America. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom also by a voice from heaven, from the excellent glory, he has commanded all to hear and to obey. Hi, Martha. Hey, Peter. Peter, thank you for sharing our catechism on all those different nights on bike sites. And we'd encourage all of you to follow Peter's lead. You can do that right now. Share us live, and then people might be joining us. Your friends might just join us here right now. And I would encourage you to do that every day. And then you're part of the ministry. Then you're part of our evangelistic outreach. But he has foretold that he would give a teacher of justice to be the light of the Gentiles, that his salvation might reach even to the ends of the earth. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom also by a voice from heaven, from the excellent glory, he has commanded all to hear and to obey. Furthermore, the Son gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and others pastors and teachers, to announce the word of life, that we might not be carried about like children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So think about it. Right now, they're talking about the Luther and Zwingli and Calvin. They're talking about the great heresies that split people off from the Catholic Church. Every wind of doctrine, right? Some of their doctrines were sola scriptura that all you need to know to be saved is in the Bible, that everybody can read. You know, you don't need a teaching authority, just read for yourself in the Bible. It's easy to understand. Zwingli and Luther both taught that, but within 2 years of the break from the church, they got in a fight with each other over scripture and couldn't agree. The sola fide, it's by faith alone that you are saved. Martin Luther kicked out the book of James, where it says it is not by faith alone that you are saved, but by works also. So that's another one of the heresies. And then I think one of the most just horrible heresies of all is the Calvinistic approach that man has a fallen nature, that it's he used the example of a pile of dung. That's how man is. And that God's grace doesn't come in and transform that dung into something beautiful. God's grace comes in and covers it like snow. So even though we're still dung, God's grace covers us. The reality is that we have a dignity. We're made imago Dei, and Jesus came to raise our dignity back to its original status. So these heresies are what the Catechism is talking about, that we should not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but holding fast to the firm foundation of the faith, we might be built together into a habitation of God in the Spirit. Look at the waves out there, man. If I can get this work done this morning, I'll take an hour break and maybe get out there before the wind comes up. Lest any should receive the word of God from the ministers of the church, not as the word of Christ, which it really is, but as the word of man. The same Savior has ordained that their ministry should be invested with such a great authority that he says to them, he that hears you hears me, and he that despises you despises me. These words he spoke not only of those to whom his words were addressed, but likewise to all who by legitimate succession should discharge the ministry of the word, promising to be with them all the days, even to the consummation of the world. So as you are under apostolic succession, as you are under church authority, which is a great place to be, demons hate authority. And when you're under the authority of the church, when you're in right relationship with the church, there's a certain fortress from demons that is around you. And so then as the bishops and the cardinals and the priests are faithfully handing down the apostolic message, and we receive and we do too, then we become the voice of Christ. So this is kind of like jab, punch, hook, uppercut. This is a response to the open rebellion. And we just have to be careful of Luther. But we just have to be careful. And remember, Martin Luther was not really the nicest guy that people think he was. His statement was that the blood of priests and nuns should be poured into the street. And remember, they kicked the nuns and the monks out of the monasteries and took over churches and things like that. It was not a pretty thing that happened in the Protestant Reformation. It's really good if you're curious about church history. Warren Carroll has a really great series of 6 or 7 books on Christendom, and I think that's about book 5 in his 5-volume set. It discusses what actually really happened there. It's a good read. So we need to cling to the teaching of the church, the safe ship of Peter, and learn. And what's so cool is, as you're reading this, you are learning that the Catechism, since the Didache, up here to the Council of Trent Catechism, to the Baltimore Catechism, to the current Catechism, it's all the same. But this teaches with a certain sort of different sort of an authority and use of words and things because of the times. You know, it's 500 years ago. I'll let you guys enjoy the ocean a little bit. Okay, sorry for cutting it short, but please press the share button. I got to go help my son. And don't forget, you guys, to hit the subscribe button and ring the little bell if you're watching this on YouTube. And we'll see you on Monday. Don't forget to root for Baylor tomorrow, college football. Bye. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.